That's what we are going to be ministering tonight. Christ Jesus, the Lord over poverty, and the Lord of prosperity. Hallelujah. So in 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9, we'll read our two texts, and then we'll add some scriptures to it tonight to prove some point that I believe the Holy Ghost wants me to prove. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I just want to make a notation. Jesus means Lord, and Christ means anointed one. And some writers, sometimes they turn it around, they say Christ Jesus, and it actually means the anointed Lord. So we could say the anointed Lord is Lord over poverty and the Lord of prosperity. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I see it, Lord. I see it. He said, notice there, Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. Lord Jesus. Lord. Savior. Anointed one. Lord Jesus Christ. I see it. See, it's threefold there. There he is as your Savior, Jesus, the Savior. But he also is Lord. That's to make you be empowered over everything. And then he's the Christ. He's the anointing that you need to overcome any situation. My goodness. I wish I had time just to preach that. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty, through his what? Might be rich. Now, turn to Galatians, we explain that actually took place when Jesus stripped himself of his mighty glory and power and became a man and then went on to the cross on our behalf. He actually came to poverty when he took our place on the cross. We were supposed to be on the cross. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ took our place. Now in Galatians chapter 3, this has been our golden text for the last few days in this prosperity revival. Now remember what we read, that the Lord Jesus Christ became poor that we might become rich, that through his poverty we might become rich. He took our place. Amen? Yes. And I said that was on his death on the cross. Now, I can't go over this whole scenario. I sense somebody pulling on me. But, you know, we have already explained that Jesus, when he was on earth, he was not poor. He couldn't have been. First of all, I established the fact, you poor people don't have no treasure. And Judas was declared as Jesus' treasure for his organization, his ministry team. And then he had a large team that traveled with him. I know every now and then I'll take a few. I took a few with me to Tulsa when I ministered in camp meeting. And I took a few that I had to have work, so I had to take care of them and put them in a room and feed them. It cost a few dollars. And Jesus had a whole crew with him. Now, I never saw them begging and hungry, but at that time they were dealing with a lot of people who didn't have nothing. And I saw one time they came up with the conclusion that they couldn't feed them. And Jesus said, "Oh no, what you got?" So he controlled the whole situation, took them little bread and them two little fishes, and said, "Now set them down. I just can't be a man of poverty." I mean, he got 5,000 guests, not counting the men, not counting the women and children. He got 5,000 guests out in the open ground for a picnic, and he don't have no more than two fish and five little loaf of bread, or whatever way it went, vice versa. And he said, he's telling the disciples, saying, "Now, boys, I want to show you something in essence. Set them down. We never broke. And then nothing never come too high for our finances. We got more than enough." And set them down. And then after they all eaten, I had 12 baskets left over. That don't sound like nobody in poverty to me. And then, you know, I like to argue this case because then tax came up. Oh, you know about the IRS. The IRS was on Jesus and one of his disciples. And the disciples said, "You know, the IRS is checking our..." They must have had some big money because the IRS wanted to pay some tax back. Glory. Yeah, I never heard that before. I like it, Lord. You know, he wasn't the government wasn't going to pay him. You know, when you don't make much, the government pay you. But when you make plenty of money, you got to pay the government. So the boy said, "Look, we got to pay some taxes, man. You know, all this money came in the ministry." And Jesus said, and I'm going to show you now, he wasn't in poverty. Jesus said, "Go out there and look, and the first fish you catch, open his mouth wide." I'm adding a wide. "Stick your hand in there and get our taxes." I had that in too. He said the money would be in his mouth. It was. Boy took the money and paid the taxes. That don't sound no broke poverty point to you. Do you? Huh? No. See, we're going to come to a conclusion sooner or later. Somebody wrong. And I don't believe this book wrong. No, Jesus, when he was on earth, I remember when he got ready to have a big meeting in the upper room. You know, he didn't own no confession hall or no big house. And I told you the reason he didn't have no big house, the man wasn't planning on staying here. He knew he was here for a temporary time. And all sense, if I thought I was going to be here 3 years, I wouldn't build a house either. I would just live on the street, just going from city to city, preaching fast in a hurry. Just think about it. You preachers, think about it. If you know you had no more than 3 years, you didn't have time to live in no house. I live moving. If I knew today I had 3 years left, I'd move out and get on the road and go preach. I'd be going to them boys. I said, "Look, boy, I'm coming next week." I'd be preaching anyway because I want to preach to everybody before I leave. Yeah. That's the way Jesus would do it. Yeah. See, when he got ready for a donkey, he was able to go to tell a boy, send him. Said, "When they ask you who wanted, tell them the Lord have need of them." And when people say, "Fine." So he wasn't in poverty. Well, so that's enough to clarify that he wasn't in poverty when he was here on earth. Amen. You need some more? I got plenty more. What you say? Tell me about it. What? Body tape. Yeah, body tape. That's right. Body tape. That's right. Help. Thank you for helping me, remember. Body tape. You brought your shopping clothes tonight?
Yeah.
Well, let's read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, we say the curse of the law, and most believers don't even know what the curse of the law is. You find out in Deuteronomy that the curse of the law is sickness, poverty, and the second death. So just like he redeemed us from sickness, we redeemed from being broke. We're redeemed from poverty. Christ, notice it's past tense. This is not something he's going to do. It is something that he has already done, but we must appropriate it by our faith, being knowledgeable of the word of God. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for. See, that's the same thing we read in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone." This is where you tell you where he became broke and poverty. That hangeth on a tree. That's the cross. And I told you about how they all got over that seamless robe he had on. He wore a robe, but they always penned him out in some little old sack robe or something. But this robe was a very expensive robe because those gamblers, those thieves down there, they gambled over that robe. Said, "Man, I want that robe." That'd be like them boys, they're fighting over my necktie I got on tonight. "I want that necktie." I don't like no poverty necktie to me. Okay, they're ready to go after it now. They ain't getting it though, I'm alive. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to explain that he wasn't broke. Amen. And there wasn't no old tanned robe he had on. And then he was stripped naked when he was on that tub. My goodness. Why did he do that? Notice verse 14. Why did he die? Why did he become poor? Why did he take poverty? Why did he hang on a tree? That we can be around here living from payday to payday?
No.
Barely getting along, serving a barely getting along God? No, 1,000 times no. He did it that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then look over there in verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and what?
Heirs
according to the promise. Hallelujah. Now, I don't believe in waiting until the last minute to shout in a service. You can shout all through the service. And sometimes I've been in service, we shout all through the service. I've been in service, people don't want to sit down. I tell them to stand up then. You don't just sit down. Spirit of God in you, just go for it. Yeah. And tonight is going to be one of those services. I just sense it. Man, I got a stirring of whirlwind up here. Glory to God. A whirlwind of prosperity. Now listen, listen. Notice back again that the blessings of Abraham. Now we're going, we looked at Abraham last night. But you're going to see more than three things in a flash if you open your spirit as I go over this. Now, I haven't got to what I want to get to yet. I'm just warming up. I feel sorry, preacher. Don't have nothing to preach. Must be serving another God. Yeah, listen. Now, blessing, that the blessing of Abraham. You see that? Everybody said that the blessing of Abraham. Say it again, that the blessing of Abraham. Now, we looked at the blessing of Abraham last night, and you remember I told you one of my sons had looked it up in the Greek and in the Hebrews, and I had given a definition, and I had it slipped my mind, I didn't write it down, but he drives trucks. His wife undoubtedly must have told him I wanted it. He called into the office. He wanted to make sure, hey, I got it tonight. And it will bless your socks on you. Go back to Genesis now, before we go to this other thing that the Lord want to talk about. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory, I've been laughing all day. Glory to God. Yeah, just laughing. Said, devil, the cover is coming off the people's eyes. Yeah, I've been laughing at him. All in the shower. Matter, I got the hypoxia. Yeah. All day long been laughing at him. Been laughing at him. Yeah, well, the cover coming off our eyes. We're seen. We're not going to be embarrassed of being prosperous no more. We're not going to hide the goodies. We're going to eat them in public. Hallelujah. Yeah, no sense hiding it. Ain't nothing wrong with being blessed. We've been preached so, yeah, we've been preached down so much, we've been hiding. You know, if you get a little blessing, you don't want everybody to know it. You kind of sneak with your blessing, you know, and you take your little piece and put it back in your pocket, you know. Yeah, because people who in the church say, look, you got that, hey, what that kind of candy you eating now? That's the most expensive candy on the market. How you got that being a Christian? So we hide, you know. Have a nice ring on you, put your finger in your pocket, get around a certain group. You don't want them to see it, you know. They're going to think you're worldly. Who you laughing at? Well, I'm laughing with you at the devil if you would laugh with me. Yeah, if I can get somebody to laugh with me. Don't sit there with that sad tone on your face. Deliverance is here tonight. Victory is here. And you're coming out of debt and bondage. Put a smile on your face. Force it to come on your face. Because your face haven't learned yet that you're out of debt. It'll find out after a while. Yeah. Yeah. You found Genesis yet? And we read in Genesis 12. 12th chapter of Genesis. And I'm going to give you that definition. Then I'm going to put the definition in where he said bless that. It says in Genesis 12. Everybody there? Yeah. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Finally became Abraham. I'll stop. Audrey, my secretary for almost, 19 years? Been with me a long time. I remember she was here. Mount Zion, the little building over here, was there. It's going to explain here. Mount Zion, this building over here, was Mount Zion Baptist Church, a historical, over 100-year-old Baptist church. And the Lord was dealing with me about changing the name, so I changed it. I just changed the sign. I had no meeting or nothing. I just changed it. He told me Word of Life Christian Center, and I changed it. And Audrey didn't say nothing to me. I saw the sad countenance on her and Marie and some of the other ones, kind of sad, you know. But I knew it was the Lord, and I knew we were going to see great things and a lot of people delivered, because that's what it all amounts to. No matter what the name is, you get people delivered. And I knew that name was taking a brain off of the church, that all men might come, whoever they want to come, whatever background. When you got them stigmas on the church, now this other stuff, this new thing coming out, ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna work. It just won't work. I didn't say it, you said it. It's not gonna work because it's just no such thing as that. You won't know what it is. Keep leaning. Well, I'll be way out on a limb if I say it. I better not say it. Just go ahead and figure it out and keep looking around. You see a new thing that'll come out. A new thing that'll come out and they're trying to add on to something that already exists. And you can't put new wine in an old bottle.
pretty sharp tonight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sharp tonight, boy. That's Ricky hollering out that stuff. He's from Texas. He but, the Lord my story. Yeah, well, Mount Zion, because I need to talk about Abraham, because their name was changed to Abraham. Audrey came in my office one day, literally crying. And she said to me, she's here tonight, she said, Pastor, Mount Zion is in the Bible. I said, yes, but the Lord said, Word of Life Christian Center. And then I found out later on, holding forth the Word of Life is in the Bible. But I didn't know that at the time. But I said, the Lord said, Word of Life Christian Center. And I said, Audrey, when the Lord wanted to do a new work, he changed name.
Yeah.
And I cried with her. And I told her, I said, stick with me. Let's see how it come out. Well, the proof in the pudding is the eating. She finally came back and talked to him and said, Pastor, I see what you're talking about. But they stuck with me. They didn't leave me. They didn't understand everything, but they stuck with me. Sometimes you don't understand everything, but if you stick with it, you'll get the blessing. So finally his name going to be changed to Abraham, the father of nation. But here he said, now the Lord had said unto Abram, and I believe that little side trip was just to talk about the other little deal. In wisdom. So I didn't call on that. Now you can leave here and say what I said, or you can play this tape back, but I didn't say a thing. I just said this other thing, new thing come out. They're trying to be another thing, and it's not going to work because Jesus said you can't put new wine in old bottle. That's all I said. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, so Abram, boy, we might be here. I don't know. Yeah. You got a good dose, huh? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. So, now, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Oh! My goodness. Yeah. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get thee out of thy country. And from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now you listen real closely. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will what?
Bless.
Now underline that. Underline bless. I will bless thee. Everybody say, I will bless thee.
I will bless thee.
All right, now hold on. And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Say, thou shalt be a blessing.
Thou shalt be a blessing.
Underline that. Underline blessing with two lines. Underline bless with two lines. Because you're going to shout in a few moments. And I won't have to tell you when to shout. And we just started. Verse 3. And I will bless them, underline bless, with two lines, that bless thee, underline that bless, because it's another part I want you to see. And curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be what?
Blessed.
Blessed. Underline that. Now, here is the definition of blessed, and I'm going to use it in this text, and it will be a blessing to you. The definition of blessed is empowered to prosper. Empowered, everybody say it, empowered to prosper. Say this with me. I am blessed because
I'm in Christ.
And because I'm in Christ and I'm blessed,
I am
empowered
to prosper.
Now watch this now. Watch it. Watch this now. Watch. Now, you're going to take my little time because I never did this before, but I saw it, myself doing it. So I might have to make a little correction as I go, but I got to get it in the grammatical setting so we can go ahead and get it in the impact that the Holy Ghost wants us to have. But just look back at this thing. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will empower thee to prosper and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a empowering to prosper. And thou shalt be an empowering to prosper to others. Wait a minute, we're not through yet. And I will empower them to prosper that bless thee, that empower thee to prosper. My God, when I saw that, let me go back over there now. I want you to see that. In other words, whoever empowered you to prosper, God said he's going to empower them to prosper. This thing going both ways, man. Whoa! Listen. And I will, verse 3. I will empower them to prosper that empower thee to prosper. How many see it? You know what he's saying? Plant seed in good ground. And it'll cause your crop to come up faster. Boy, that's something. Bless. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm empowered.
To prosper.
Hallelujah. And you know, a lot of time you're giving in good ground, you think you, people who really know how to give, they know what they're doing. Blessing going somewhere to happen. Hallelujah. All right, now we're going to start preaching tonight. Yeah. We got 18 minutes left on that hour, but we got another half hour we're going to go. We've been preaching an hour and a half every night. Got new people coming, might not have them on one shot at them. And I want them to receive the benefit of what the Spirit of God is saying to the church about prosperity. All right, so now let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of y'all empowered to prosper?
Yes.
Yeah, you blessed. Yeah, you blessed. You're God's children. You blessed. Glory to God. You just haven't been using your power properly. It's in you. Hallelujah. I mean, when the devil go to talking to you another time, talking about you, how, what you're not going to have, say, look, Mr. Devil, I'm empowered to prosper. And I'm going to show you something to add with that, that's going to nail it to the wall in your life. I mean, you're going to have it with you. You're not going to be able to get away from it. Because now I'm putting a bill on that empowerment to prosper. I'm about to show you some scriptures. We have used those scriptures only one way. But it said Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. So prosperity is with all Christ's power, prosperity to come along with it. Now you're listening to me. You have to listen. I told you you're going to listen back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be what?
Rich.
Rich means a full supply. A full supply. Now, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians. I'm going through a few scriptures right quickly to lay some groundwork on something that I believe can explode in your spirit about prospering along with what you already have. Ephesians chapter 1, very familiar verse 3. Ephesians 1 and 3. Then we're going to Philippians 4. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ Jesus, the Lord over poverty and the Lord of prosperity. That's what we're talking about. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father. Well, read with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You saw the word bless. I just saw it. I wasn't even going there, but I saw it. Who have empowered us to prosper. Empowering us to prosper be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has empowered us to prosper with all spiritual prosperity in heavenly places in Christ. Really, you can say that. But I want you to see Jesus Christ, and I want you to see in Christ. You see that? Go on to Philippians now. Philippians. Turn over to Philippians. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, if this your first night, you come a good night. They all been good, though. Yeah, you miss half your life. Philippians 4 and 19. Let's read that together. But my God shall... Wait a minute. Some of them don't have it. Some of them don't have it. Some of them don't have them. Boy, they're ready. They're ready. Go ahead. Go with it. It's in the New Testament. I remember, boy, I couldn't understand that Bible, you know. I never tried to read it too much. I had a Catholic Bible. I tried to read that thing. I tried to read it, and when I got to church, the priest confused me more than I was. So I just left it alone. Let him read. I just say Hail Mary behind him, full of grace, full of God. Bow 50,000 times, up and down, up and down. We went up and down. You know, I didn't really know when you're supposed to go down. I had to watch somebody else. When he was going down, I was coming up. I was half drunk anyway. I'd been out all night. I was just going to pay my dues, you know. I'm down on my knees and woke my eye and everybody up. I believe one time I forgot to put that thing down your knee on, fell on the floor. Philippians 4 and 19. If you can get it for bowing and getting up and getting down, boy, it really happened. But I believe my mama was saved. She was a Catholic. You know, I believe really be she was saved, but I wasn't. I was with her. But I wasn't saved. I believe she went on home to be with the Lord because she was a genuine woman and she loved God, you know. She didn't know nothing about the Bible because he wouldn't teach her nothing about the Bible. You got to have some teaching to know something about the Bible. Now, none of you Catholics get offended. I'm part Catholic. Part Baptist, part full of gospel, and part of word of faith. I'm just, you know. See, that's why I get along with it. Paul said I became whatever they were, you know. I got scripture to back me up. You see, you thought I was going off. I got scripture to back me up. Paul said when I ran a Catholic, I became Catholic. See, I shut you up right there, you see. Philippians 4 and 19, let's read together. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I want you to see in that verse also, by, and it just got it different, it got Christ first, but by Christ Jesus. Christ means the anointed one. Jesus is the Savior and Lord. So he said, by Christ, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right? See, and it says here, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you right there in Philippians. Now, this is not talking about so much a supply of finances, but you can see it again in Philippians 4 and 13. Let's read together. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Through who?
Christ.
Through Christ. I just want you to see that. Through Christ. So, there's a scripture in Mark 9:23 says, if thou can believe, all things are possible to them that believe it. Then in Mark 10, I don't know exactly what verse, but it got talking about this rich young ruler, and they got worried about can a rich man go to heaven. And Jesus said, these things are impossible with men, but all things are possible with God. And I heard such a thrilling message to God, should have named it possible. At camp meeting, I named it possible. When I preach it, I'm going to preach it possible. So I want everybody to say, possible.
Possible.
Think about your debts. Think about being out of debt.
thinking about having a full supply, just like Paul said, and I want you to declare, possible.
Possible.
Think about not living from paycheck to paycheck and declare, possible.
Possible.
Think about having plenty of money in your pocket and declare. Good, great. I want to give you time to think about it. Think about it or say it or something. You know, say, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Holler, possible. I'm the head and not the tail.
Possible.
Blessing the city and blessing the field.
Possible.
You got to get that to register on your spirit. Now, he's Lord of all. I said, he is Lord of all.
Amen.
Turn to Philippians 2 now. You got to get your mind set right to prosper. Oh, glory to God. Yes, you know, in Romans 12 and 2, yeah, let's go there for us. Boy, I tell you, I'm going to shout in a few minutes. Nobody in here going to be able to hold me. They used to hold you in the Baptist church. You can't, they used to hold you. And they shout waiting for somebody to come get them. The Baptist church, they shout a little bit and they're looking to see if somebody come and get them before they go to shout. I don't know what's the matter with me tonight. Y'all have mercy on me. What did I tell you to turn? I'm getting the message in other people's business. Romans 12, yeah. Get the message in other people's business. Just leave other people's business alone. We don't hold you here. You just let you go. If you flip, you're going to fall. We won't know if it's the Holy Ghost or you. If it's the Holy Ghost, you fall, you're going to be all right. The only reason we stand people behind you when we're laying hands is the insurance business. You know, people sue people. They come to church, you know, and they fall, and they were broke already, and they fall, and they see the church, and they see me wearing this kind of necktie, you know, and they say, well, man, they're going to get some money from this church. So we catch you so you fall even. That's what the catch is for. They really don't, you don't need no catch of the Holy Ghost. Then that's for those folks who fake it. You need to catch them because they'll break their neck. You need to catch them. You know. Yeah. Now let's get this mind set right. You got to get your mind right if you're going to prosper. Now, I'm declaring tonight, and the Spirit of God woman declare, Christ Jesus, the Lord over poverty, and the Lord of, say that with me. Let's say the whole thing now. Christ Jesus, Lord over poverty, and the Lord of prosperity. Everybody say Lord.
Lord.
Say Lord three times.
Lord.
Say it three more times.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
And I want you to, you know, I augured the case that a lot of people have accepted Jesus as Savior. You got to see that for you to see, boy, vividly. When you see this, you really will never be broke another day in your life, what I'm about to show you. But you have to get it vivid in your mind that you can be, now he is Lord, and he desire to be the Lord of your life, but you got to let it. Now a lot of people have accepted Jesus as Savior, but they have not accepted him as Lord, because when you accept him as Lord, I own, God own everything. See, when he become Lord of your life, when he's Lord of your life, what's that foreword? Always keep. That's when he's the Lord of your life. Not your business, not your, nothing become first before him when he's the Lord of your life. So we have to first, if we're going to move out in the arena of prosperity like we should, Jesus Christ will have to become in your everyday affair the Lord of your life. So many Christians don't want him to be Lord. They don't want no pastor. They don't want no shepherd. They're sheep. You're a sheep. I don't care how many revelations you got, you're still a sheep.
That's right.
And they don't want no church doctrine. They don't want to sit under nobody that can speak in their life and rebuke them and resist them and stop them from doing things. They want to praise God, shout, and do what they want to do. You know, and give like they want to give and show up when they get ready. And the Lord, not the Lord of their life. I know a lot of people in this church, I'm not pastoring. If I was pastoring, they'd be here tonight.
Yeah.
Now, some can't be here, you understand, by work and by some just watching television.
Yeah.
The Lord, the devil, and every demon know I'm not pastor. And I join in with the crowd, I know. But, I just go ahead and feed them and love them, try to get them to heaven. Try to get them past the hospital, past bankruptcy court and all that stuff, you know. Amen.
Amen.
No, we're not stupid. We just act like we're stupid. We're not stupid. We just got to be humble and go ahead and do the work because we got people here who really love God. And as I was training the minister this morning, I said, don't force that one knucklehead and you got all the rest of the people doing right. Just go ahead and love the other people and go on. Amen. That's what we're doing. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, your mind has to be renewed toward prosperity. All that junk got to be get out of your mind. About the church and about Jesus and about God and about holiness and about sanctification and about money. You got to renew your mind about this. You got to renew your mind. See, you have to understand there's a difference between God's laws of prosperity and the world system. You see, a lot of people take the world system and want to apply it to God's laws of prosperity, and everybody who prospers, they think they got to be doing something wrong because they don't understand God's laws of prosperity. You remember what he said? Bless, empowered to prosper. See, people who don't understand that, they see you as a Christian prospering, they judge you by the world system, and they say, look at that, ain't nothing but flesh. Look what she got on. That ain't nothing but flesh. If they're crazy, anybody gonna dress nice ought to be a woman of God, ought to be a Esther, not a Jezebel. You sure? Some heathen woman ought not be dressing nice, and our women who are of the cloth of God, dressing like vagabond, and our father owned all the cattle on the thousand hill, the silver and gold of mine. Why not? Then when you do that, someone, and you go to living right, and go to living in godly principle, someone who don't understand, some good church member, who don't understand, I say, oh my God, what they're doing? What they're doing what the whole body of Christ is supposed to be doing, prospering and preaching.
Yeah.
Preaching and prospering.
Yeah.
How many can see it? Yeah, don't let nobody rob you of your heritage or prosperity. See, but our mindset, your mindset will have to change. And only what we're doing this week, only what we're doing last week in the aspect of prosperity, can your mindset change about poverty and prosperity, getting your mind renewed. Now, actually, I'm going to tell you something about the word transform after I read this, but I'm going to read it again. And be not conformed, or don't take the form or the shape of this world, to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind into another world. Yes, and that's what it's saying. Into the world of the spirits. So the manifestation can take place in your life. Be ye not transformed, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your what?
Mind.
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, your emotion, your will, all those things are in your soul. Your soul is not saved. James said, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. You have to renew your mind to get your soul in the realm of understanding prosperity. Your soul and your feeling, your body, your senses. Your soul and your senses will gather against your spirit. Spirit, soul, and senses. The physical man, which goes by senses, and the soul man, I call him a solical man, they will have to be, the soul man will have to, his mind has to be renewed, and the physical man has to be brought under subjection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I bring my body under subjection. Because you go to feeling like other folk. You shouldn't have nothing. See, your body, you don't know no better. Your body, law and ignorant. Unless you inform it and slap it and make it get back where it's supposed to get in prosperity. Your body will go anywhere you go. Your body will go lay down with somebody else's wife, somebody's husband tonight. It's just as ignorant as it can be. Selfish. Your body is selfish. Still selfish. And you got to keep it under control. Your body, your tongue will curse like a sailor, as they would say, tonight. Every vulgar word it can find, it'll say it if you don't keep it under control. The Bible said no man can tame the tongue. You need a Holy Ghost on the inside of you, taming your tongue. See? So you got to get this thing where don't talk poverty, don't, and get that mind where don't think poverty, and get it renewed. Now, the word transform. I was reading, and one writer explained it vividly. That same word, and I have it in my notes, and I don't have time to look for it. But that same word transform mean the same thing when Jesus transfigured. So when you get your mind transformed or renewed with the word of God, your life's transfigured from earth to glory. And you go to living like God lived. I might look them notes up for you tomorrow night. But you go to living. That's the way he's saying now. He's saying, Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or be ye transfigured from a worldly lifestyle to a godly lifestyle. And you do that, your first thing you do is get your mind set. Get your mind renewed. Can you see that? Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Saying what, you remember Jesus was on that mountain. They called it the Mount of Transfiguration. The glory came down. I tell you, if you go to talking right about prosperity, I'm preaching from two platforms. I'm preaching from information and revelation and experience, probably three. See, because what I'm telling you, I walked through it. I had, my mind got set. I ran away from the Baptist. They gave me the left foot of fellowship. And I ran. And I got out of all little ministers club they had. They used to go meet and talk about their problem. And then sometimes talk about their women. And then so I got out of all of them. I wouldn't go to none of them. And I got off sort of, you know, no man an island. You can't make it by yourself. Because we're independent, interdependent. But I had to be away long enough to get away. And then I had to find me some new company. Took me a while to find that new company. I had to leave Louisiana. I probably had some good company I never found. Because they were still talking tradition and religion. But I found me some new company. I found new company at John Osteen Church. Man, I found out there wasn't no such thing as no black church and white church. I found Japanese, black, Spanish, everybody jumping together when I got to John Osteen Church. It was another world. I saw all race of people shouting and praising God together. Me and my wife walking, I said, wow, this is another world here. It is this no black church. It's not no white church. All kind of folk here. This look like the Lord's church. And my mind, I started renewing my mind. I got my hand on Kenneth Hagin's books. Man, I couldn't go to bed at night. Man redeemed from poverty. The authority of the believer. How to be led by the Spirit. I said, man, and I've been preaching for 10 years, and you know, I almost said like he said, the deacon used to tell me he'd get in out of the rain. I ain't know when it's raining, spiritually, you know. Say, hey, it's raining, Pastor, come on out of the rain. That lady's trying to cut your neck off or something, you know. Is that? My goodness. You got it to renew your mind?
Yeah.
Transform means transfigure. So all of you all are about to go in orbit. Your life is about to be transfigured from debt and bills and troubles and trials in finances to the will of God. What you have, beloved, I wish my greatest desire is that my children prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Are you listening to me? All right, now go back to Philippians. You say renew your mind. Go back to Philippians. Oh, glory to God. You know the judge already have slapped the gavel on the on the roster already. I've already won the case. You know who the judge is here tonight, huh? God, he already have slapped the gavel. Boy, you got your case won. Just go ahead and tell them a little more information, but you won. Whether they go with you or not, I'm going to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over the situation. Now notice this. In Philippians chapter 2, with all things in mind, I'm talking about the Lord. Let this mind be in you, chapter verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind he had? Well, he had a mind when he had 5,000 people who needed something to eat. He had a mind. See, Jesus was saved on both sides of the cross. He became lost when he died for you. So Jesus was living on the front side of the cross, the lifestyle that we should live on the other side. Oh, I wish somebody, the old Baptist preacher said, I wish somebody was praying with me. I wish you understand and see this thing. So Jesus could have went directly to the cross right after he left out of seclusion. But he stayed there 3 years to lay the layer of how to live. in full cooperation with the Father. So right here, he said, let's have the mind of Christ. Christ's mind was, whatever I need, my Father has it, and he's willing to give it to me. So any condition he came up against, and the Lord want our mind like that, and it wouldn't tell us to renew our mind, and then he wouldn't tell us, oh my goodness, let this mind be in you. You know the Lord is not a crook, and he don't talk loosely. So he wouldn't tell us, let this mind be in you, if this mind couldn't be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Say, mind be in me.
Mind be in me.
Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Then they go, and then, oh my goodness, can you read? Now he told us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can you read?
Yes.
Look what this next voice said. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. Now see that religious brand said, wait a minute, what are you trying to say? See that religious brand give you trouble here now. Oh, no, not. The Lord wants you to be just like him. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Matter of fact, Galatians 4 prove it. When you come to the knowledge of your right in Christ, the Bible says you are Lord of all. Better turn that. Turn to Galatians, because I better organize my case straight down the line. See, the only reason that you're not like equal with God, God wants you to walk equal with him. Not that you can get on the throne with him, but he wants you to walk in the equal ability that the Lord Jesus walked when he was on the earth rim. Amen. Because that's why he gave us the same name. Jesus was his son. He called us son and daughters of God because we have equal right with Christ. We have equal right with Christ because Christ gave us equal right with him. We not the Savior, but we the saved.
Yeah.
Jesus. Boy, I'm walking my kids tonight. Goodness, man. I don't know if I've done you any good, but I preach myself happy. I'm more bolder toward living this full life and living this, and being a display for the body of Christ and living in holiness and sanctification and keeping my body for the Lord. What did I tell you, Tony? Galatians 4. Yeah, I want to auger that kid. Now, look, put your finger back. I want you to go back to Philippians. See, this night, I can't pass no scriptures up. Now, I never got where I'm going too much because this night, everything going. Revelation coming out of scriptures, I've never seen before in my life. Lord, but I'm taking it. Now, let's go back. I want to let you look. Let this mind be in you. Now, my first argument is God would not tell you you could have something you couldn't have, or we can call him a liar. So if you say, let this mind be in you, that mind can be in us.
Yeah.
Now, you know what kind of mind Jesus had? Jesus didn't pay no attention to no storm. He ain't paying no attention to no newscast, talking about the storm going to wipe him out and all that. Jesus just stopped the storm. Water didn't stop him. He got out there and walked on water. Food didn't stop him. Tax didn't stop him. He told Peter, said, look, you Peter's had fish all night. He said, yeah, but you're not a fisherman like me. Let me renew your mind. You was on the wrong side of the ship. Put the net on, cash your net on the other side of the ship. Boy, if the ship sank down, and then when your partner's with a good thing, your ship get full too. Tell me all this partnership got full. That's the kind of mind you need. You had to buck up against the devil and buck up against those bills and buck up against society that's telling you you can't have it and buck up against this world system. Say, no, you're not going to rule me. I don't care if you work for Payless. I don't care if you work for 7-Eleven and making $2 an hour. Just stand up and take your ground and begin to confess that I'm prosperous. It's up to God to do the rest. You don't have to do it. You just have the power in you to speak it and speak it and see him. Speak it and seek him. It's up to him to cause it to come to pass. You don't need to worry about how much I'm making or where I work at. I'm not on a high total pole. No, get the revelation. Renew your mind. Speak it. Seek him. Speak it. Seek him. Speak it. It don't make no difference what where you're from, what's your background. Don't make no difference what kind of job you got. Don't make no difference you don't have a job. Go out there and look for a job. Speak it and seek him.
Somebody say, yeah, but I'm nothing but a janitor. Good, good. You are showing more strong. Man down the street said, even that janitor blessed because he's a child of the Lord. The Lord will ride the janitor. It's not who you are. It's not how much you know. It's not how educated you are. It's not what color you are. It's not your inheritance from your family background. It's that you got the revelation in your spirit. And you got it in your tongue. And you're saying it. Speak it and seek 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 it. That's all you got to do. Where you are now. It's not where you are, it's who you are. You've been born again, washed in his blood and filled with his spirit. And you got the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, will cut you to prosperity. Cut poverty. Cut that poverty down. Cut poverty. And rise you up where your father wants you to be. Say this with me. Seek him. Speak it.
Speak it.
Sit down if you can for a few moments. If you can't, just stand up. We'll go ahead and finish it like that. Glory to God. I mean, when you're in a man stand up, it's hard to sit down. Well, stand up. Who want to stand up? We'll just finish standing up. Glory to God. Open your Bible. Oh! Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Lord, my goodness. My goodness. Listen, let's read a few more. I don't know how far we're going to get with this thing. I haven't told you what he told me about tongues yet. Say,
I'll never be broke.
It's my right to have prosperity.
It's my right to have prosperity.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
For me to prosper.
For me to prosper.
My father.
My father.
Give me.
Give me.
The power.
The power.
To get well.
To get well.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My goodness, man. Y'all give me a while here. We'll finish. Ooh, glory to God. Whoa. You singers, get ready. I want something hot. I bet you that I put all kind of air conditioning. You must have put house air conditioning in this church. I bet you next time I'm going to have another air to blow you out of that church. I'm going to make sure. That's one thing I want to check on, the air conditioning and the sound. Air conditioning first. Because the sound, be good as it could be. If there's people hot, you can't get to them. They're ready to go. Let this mind be in you. What did I tell you, Tony? Galatians. I haven't all got that case yet. I've got happy air. I was taking it to the point to recognize and to understand that it's not robbery to be equal with God in the aspect he had made it possible because he had given you his nature and his life, and Jesus is your elder brother. So what Jesus said, see now, there's a lot of time now, listen. Jesus stripped himself, we'll find, of his mighty glory and power. So he wasn't living as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He was living as a man empowered with lordship. You see, my friend, we have been empowered with lordship. We are masters over the circumstances. And if you're not living in that territory, you're below your mean. You are Lord over every situation that comes in your life because the Lord lives on the inside of you to empower you. He called him the helper. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I heard he used to get him dance before the Lord the first thing in the morning. And I was in the shower. I said, Smith dance. I was in the shower. I said, that's why I got so much anointing on me tonight. I said, I was right, Smith dance. I'm dancing right now. I was in the shower, just dancing before the Lord today. I said, I'll dance by tonight. I mean, you know, my house wasn't the largest size. My wife's in the kitchen, I believe, cleaning some kitchen dishes or something. She'd have heard me, and I was rumbling that. I had that shower rumbling. Bump-a-bump-a-bump-a. I'd dance that thing, man. I'd dance. Man, I got the more I danced, the happier I got. I just danced, man, water flying everywhere, and I was dancing. Man, I don't know if I can preach no more, I'll tell you the truth, man. I'll be this thing. I want to get a few more. Go back to Galatians. I got to show you the Lord of all. You just don't know it. A lot of people just don't know it. See? Now, look, first chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, uninformed, ignorant of certain things because he hadn't grown to that extent. See, some things Clayton, by not by choice, but he just at the age, he's ignorant of it at this point because he never grew to that capability of us telling him, but this is a different case here. You old enough to receive it, but you've been robbed. Now, I can check and show you in, boy, man, my goodness. I think it's in Colossians. He's talking about don't let the men rob you. Men have robbed us of our rights and our privileges in Christ. And Paul wrote to the Colossians, he told them, don't let no man rob you now with enticing words of man's wisdom and vain philosophy. That's in there. That's in the book. Isn't it, brother? It's in the book. I got preachers on the front line and second line. They know. It's in the book. Third line, I preach that. Yeah. Vain philosophy. Empty words. These words are full of power, I'm preaching to you. Full of power. They will propel you out of poverty into prosperity. Like a jet. And let me tell you, there's a certain place you hit pursuing Christ, seeking the things of God and saying it. There's a certain point you hit, you're going to be over and you're not going to know it. When I looked up, I was over. I was still so busy seeking him and saying it, I didn't know I got there. Oh, come on, let me pass that by you again. See, I was so busy seeking him and saying the same thing he said and wanted to get it to somebody else. I was so concerned about getting it to the other fella. When I got back and started looking over my life, I had it. See, well, you got to watch that pride. Ain't no pride in the aspect when you know that it was the Lord's doing and it wasn't your own ability. And it's not no pride if you don't own nothing. How you gonna be proud of something you don't own? We got 7 minutes. Let's see if we can socket this thing up here. Come on, let's read this verse now. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant. Talking about the heir, you know. Who that is? Who's the heir? Talk up. You heir?
Yes.
Well, the next statement belongs to you. Though he is Lord of all. Now, you who've been in this meeting, if you will keep seeking the Lord on this prosperity message, you become Lord over your finances. Now, Jesus is the Lord, you know, but he'll let you become Lord of it because your power is the only thing holding him back. I prove that, Ephesians 3 and 20. The only reason you don't have it is you're holding him back. He wants you to have it. He said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Come on here. No, you need to look at that scripture. Look at that scripture. Turn to it. Ephesians 3 and 20. Look at it. The only reason you're not prosperous is you're holding the prosperity back. You're holding a lot of prosperity back from making you Lord over your finances, because he's ready to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. But according to the power that works in you, if you give him a little power to come in on, he'll flood you out. But you got to have that mind of Christ. See, Christ said, Christ never thought that his father didn't have it. In every given situation, he said, me and my father, we one. See, you need to get that mind, me and my father are one. Where I stay, he stay. I wonder sometimes, you know, people think you're getting selfish, but I wonder what type of suit God would wear if he was here. Wonder would he have a seersucker suit on or something, you know? Something just wrinkle all up every time you get up and can't walk. I wonder would he has a nice pinstripe on. See, y'all don't can't think like this. Oh, now this sacrilegious. This good sense. That's stupid what you're talking about. Because I can tell you what kind of suit he had on, because I know what kind of house he got. Didn't he? He told us. In my father's house, there are many huts. In my father's house, there are many log cabins. Oh, what'd he say?
Mansions.
Then you go to talking about heaven, and you show up at the gate, and there you're staring a big pug right in your face. And then after you get the gate open, it's a big pug gate. That's enough right there. Then after you get the gate open, you look down. Gold here, gold there, gold everywhere. A man who paved his driveway with gold have no problem with wearing a good suit. We've been serving the wrong God, or barely getting along God. No, our God is the God of prosperity. As long as you always keep him first, he don't mind what you have. He just wants you to preach the gospel. He wants you to tell people about Jesus, because that's the man reading your ear. If you do that, he said, go ahead and enjoy yourself while you're doing it. We'll finish this tomorrow night. Let me tell you what he told me in the car. I was in the car in the shower. I don't know where I was. I've been so many places now, I don't know where I am now. Yeah. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Are you listening real good? This is going to bless you real good, and you need to write it down. I was praying in tongues. And, you know, sometimes you ask for interpretation. Most time I don't. He just tell me. I was praying in tongues. And just prayed off in tongues for a few seconds. And I heard these words. I am the sum of the whole matter. S-U-M. And I looked up sum. And I thought, think about it. You know, and he said, when you get through adding all your bills up and adding everything up, I'm the sum of it. And my sum is prosperity. You know, and sometime when the Lord give you a word, I'm the sum of the whole matter. I start thinking about it. Lord, you mean you the sum total of the whole matter after you add everything up? You the sum total? When you get through with everything else, he said, when the devil gets you talking with you, and when your bills get you talking with you, and unbelieving people get you talking with you, he said, tell you what, I'm the sum. You know, he's got a scripture, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And oh my goodness, sum. And I got one little small dictionary I carry in my briefcase, a little computer dictionary, and then I have a larger one. Then if another one come out, I'll get it. Amen. Sum mean supply or amount. So he said, I'm the supply or the amount of the whole matter. Then I kept it, said it had five definitions. I took three out of the five. You have to really be thinking to get this one, but I got it. I'm the sum of the whole matter, right? One of the definitions was of sum, a short restatement of the main points. You might have sleep on that, but I got it. When you get to adding all your bills up, adding all the unbelief up and doubt that have been told, and looking at my word, I'm a short restatement of the main point. Goodness, it might take you a couple of weeks to get that, but I got it. I got it. And then some mean to make or give an epitome of. Highest, the highest aspect of it. I'm the sum of the whole matter of prosperity. I want my children to prosper. It just all boils down to that. We've been robbed. We've been lied to. We've been preached at and not preached to. We've been preached at and not ministered to, and our spirits rejected because your spirit closed when it's not from God. But we're going to rise up, take our rightful place. I declare and decree again, and I'll finish this argument tomorrow night, but I declare and decree again that Christ Jesus is the Lord over poverty, and he is the Lord of prosperity. Hallelujah. Money coming. Let me see, can I get you? Oh, my goodness. Say this, I'll never be broke.
I'll never be broke.
Another day in my life.
Another day in my life.
I'm coming out of debt.
I'm coming out of
debt. Bills.
Bills.
You are paid.
You are paid.
Never.
Never.
To hunt me again.
To hunt me again.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
My Father.
My Father.
Is the God of prosperity.
Is the God of prosperity.
If I seek him first.
If I seek him first.
And keep him first.
And keep him first.
And acknowledge.
And acknowledge.
That he owns everything.
That he owns everything.
I can have it.
I can have it.
There's a God kind of prosperity.
There's a God kind of prosperity.
And there's a world system of prosperity.
There's a world system of prosperity.
The God kind of prosperity.
The God kind of prosperity.
Is mine.
Is mine.
Now.
Now.
When?
Now.
When?
Now.
Now you know the Bible said now faith.
Yes.
Is the substance of things hoped for. So you got to be a hope. You got to build. See, you got to build hope up in you. Then you add your faith to that hope, and then the substance come running after you. See, I'm getting your hope up. I see a little crack. You see when that little light come in, you see a little crack. When them scripture come in, say, hey, you know it is possible for me not to be down here. You know, you heard the story about the eagle who was raised with the chicken. You know, there's a little eagle, and they caught him, and they put him in the yard with the chicken, and he came up with the chicken. And he thought he was a chicken. And I might tell a story a little different, because I like a punchline. And he just walking around there with the chicken, picking what he can find on the ground, you know. And you just see those birds flying over, the little bird, that little bird. Then you see these big birds flying, the eagle, you know. The eagle fly like a master. That's why I like him. I got them all in my house. Every time I look at him, I say, I fly over the storm. Boy, telling me something about an eagle. I didn't know. I'm going to the library to study on eagles. Eagle got more sense than most human beings. Eagle get old and tell me go and beat up. What do he do? He pick all his feathers off him? He go beat all his feathers off. Now we know he beat his beak off, but I'm trying to tell you about the feathers now. And when his new feather come, he don't move till the awl come out in his wing so he can go. That's right.
Yeah.
The awl, that's the anointing.
Yeah.
The awl come out in his wing, then he fly again. Say, I'm ready to fly again.
Yeah.
I believe we need to beat some of these old feathers and beaks off tonight. This old pot that we've been having. And go ahead on and get us some new feathers and let the all of the Holy Ghost all us real good and come on up to prosperity. All I say, if you don't like the neighborhood you're living in, change neighborhood. Hallelujah. And an eagle, little eagle,
He thought I'd forgot. That little eagle, he'd had pickings, then he grew up, you know, a little bit. He kept seeing them eagles and mess around. This is the way I'll tell the story. Mess around and flap one of them wings. He saw the other chicken flap their wings, you know, and they didn't do that. They didn't cock when they flapped their wings. His wing's stronger, you see. His wing's not made for the ground, it's made for the air. And he flapped that other wing and kind of cock up, you know, cock up to the side. One day he decided, see, I think I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to flap both of these wings at the same time and come off that ground and look back at them chickens and say, I'll never see you again. Goodbye, chicken. Chicken, when you get a hold of this prosperity, you're gonna flap the wing. Goodbye, chicken. I'll see y'all later. I'm flying away. Goodbye, chicken yard. We've been in a chicken yard. We've been in a chicken yard too long. Come on out of the chicken yard and fly with the Father. Yeah, that's the way I tell a story. He looked back at them chickens and said, y'all had me fooled for a long time. But I ain't no fool no more. Tell the master I'm gone. They'll never fry me. Woo, glory to God. This world will fry you if you let it. But the Father have given you wings of faith and love and joy and understanding and wisdom that you might fly over it. Come on out of that chicken yard. Eating them little worms and bugs. Come on out of here where you can fly hard and catch you a rabbit. Get you a good squirrel or something. Good meat. We've been picking with the chicken in poverty. Seeing what kind of worm we can find. Living, looking for the worm. Picking with the chicken. Fence all around us. We can't even go where we want to go. You know, broke. Picking with the chicken. Finally, you find out there's some big birds that fly through the air every day that'll take you from one state to another state. I remember when I first got on the airplane, I said, Lord, I've been driving all my life. Let the driving dude, let the man take me over there. I'd take me 6 hours to get there. I get there in an hour. Come on out of that chicken yard. Some of y'all, look at me. Some of y'all pick it. Just a pick it. What I'm going to do tomorrow? You got a little piece here and a little piece there. Stop, child. Everybody do this here. No, you got to stretch them out. Make some room. Don't hit nobody. Stretch them out. Yeah, yeah. Oh, glory. Oh, go on. Ain't going to be poor no more. Now, wave bye to the chicken. Tell the chicken bye. Bye, chicken. Goodbye, chicken. Goodbye, chicken. Hallelujah. Yeah. Goodbye, chicken. You know, eagle, when a storm come, a hurricane come, an eagle, he don't worry about it. He got a special mechanism in his wing. He lock him and get in the eye and ride it. You can't take, he'll never, you say, you'll never take me back to that chicken yard. So when things get rough and seem like you can't make it, lock them wings. Don't try to go on your own strength. Just ride the winds of grace and mercy and God's goodness. I love it. Ain't living with the chicken no more. Some of y'all picking. Picking. But I believe some of y'all raised one of them wings tonight. And you saw that body cock, you say, whoa, I must be that little eagle you're talking about. I'm coming up from here. And then when you make up your mind, some of y'all get home. Get them bills, and put them on the table and look at them and say, all over. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Say, they say, what y'all were doing over there at the church the other night? I said, I came out the chicken yard. Say, I'm not running with the chickens no more. I'm flying with the eagle. I read a voice. Let's close here. Turn to Isaiah. We just got to read this verse. Turn to Isaiah. Ooh, glory to God. I just like to have fun in church, me. Turn to Isaiah quickly. You prayers, get up here. Bring your Bible with you and drop it when you get ready to sing or put it somewhere. Come on up here. We're going to sing a little bit. Glory to God. You can't leave a service like this without singing. Isaiah, I know you in here, boy. Show up. Now you understand this verse better. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Verse 25. You thought I was going to 31. I got to go to 25 first. Isaiah 40 and 25. We're talking about eagles coming out the chicken yard. Ooh, glory to God. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high. And behold, who have created these by numbers? He called them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power. Not one falleth or faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the heaven, the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He give his power to the faint. He give his power to the broke. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be wearied, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, everybody say but. We're coming out of the chicken yard. Here we go. Y'all ready? Out of the chicken yard we go this night. We're not going to pick around in poverty this morning. We're going to fly on into prosperity. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shout hallelujah you can. Ooh, glory to God. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ain't gonna pick with the chicken no more. I remember when I picked with the chicken, man. It's rough trying to pray and pick at the same time. I found out I had wings. I came out of that chicken yard. Ain't none of y'all bring me back to it. Y'all won't go. Y'all stay there. I'm trying to get y'all out. But I'm just going to fly over and look down at you and say, hey, you can be up here if you want to, but I ain't coming down. Hallelujah. Get up and flap your wings again. Get up and flap your wings. That's good for your faith. Don't care what, you know, don't listen to your body. Flap your wings. You flying out of that thing in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Give us some flying music. Some flying music. Wow, hallelujah. Wow, hallelujah. God, people don't have to be in bondage. When you open this book, it brings God people out of bondage and bring them into liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Hallelujah. Goodbye, chicken yard. Glory to God.
Dr. Leroy Thompson is the president and founder of Ever Increasing Word Ministries, an outreach ministry of the Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow, Louisiana. For more information on this dynamic teaching ministry, visit our website at www.eiwm.org. Or you can write Dr. Thompson at P.O. Box 7, Darrow, Louisiana, 70725.